And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, March 12th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So am I. I have no complaints. Started back at the gym today. First time back at the gym since I got out of the hospital. It got hard while I was going.
It did.
When I left, I told the instructor, I said, I've enjoyed all this. I can stand for the day. So, I'll be sore tomorrow, but I enjoy it. I really do. Once I get into it, I enjoy it. It's just getting yourself motivated to go do it.
Yep, that's what it's all about. And so gold was a little motivated today.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Gold was a little motivated today. Had a nice turnaround. We had a low of 1,700, so it dropped 20-some bucks and had a nice recovery. We're now at 1,726, up $2. Silver had the same kind of day, still didn't get into positive territory, but it's $26 off the low of 2,535. Platinum was up 8 to 1208. Palladium was up 20 at 2,424. The USDX today was up 0.20 at 91.61. And crude oil was down 36 cents at 65.66. And of course, you know, I guess you could probably set your watch by this. The Dow was up 292 points. They just moved it. But we're at 32,777. The NASDAQ was down 78, 13,319. S&P basically unchanged, up a couple points at 39.43, 3,943. The 10-year yield was up 0.11 at 1.64. Half of Asia was positive. The other half was negative. Same way with Europe. London was positive, barely. Germany was negative, barely. So let's see what Bitcoin, 56,000 for Bitcoin, but that was down 2% today. So it's, you know, it's always funny, Butch, when whether gold goes up or goes down, you get all of these folks' analysis of why it is doing what it's doing. And I mean, and that's okay. But sometimes they just, it's just like, just stay with the fundamentals. You know, here was one, why gold has been dethroned as inflation hedge by these assets. Gold hasn't been dethroned. I mean, come on. It might have gotten a little watered down because there's other investments people go to thinking, but I'll tell you what, when it all hits the fan, guess who all of these people are going to turn, well, guess where they're going to turn to? And it's going to be gold and silver. So they could say whatever they want and thinking that gold has been dethroned, but it hasn't, because money isn't going to be dethroned. So only their fiat money and their crypto money is going to be dethroned, not gold. Not gold. So, it, you know, I just thought of that. We have ups and downs. You know, I got a lot of interesting calls today. I mean, they weren't calls. They were just questions. Where do you think gold's going to go? I don't know. Hey, does this guy know how far the Dow's going to go next year? I mean, we don't know. Nobody knows. But if you look to the fundamentals are there for gold to go higher and silver to go higher. And, you know, people are out there buying kilo bars of silver. I mean, they're just buying the craziest things. And it's all fine when you buy it, but there's a day where you're going to liquidate it. And I'll guarantee you, if you start buying these kilo bars and all this kind of stuff, you're going to wish you had gotten coins. So just, you know, saving a few cents, sometimes it's worth it to go with a little bit better quality than just going with... because you know what? These dealers, lots of times who sell these kilos, silvers, and stuff like that, how do you know what you're paying? You know? I'll guarantee you they make more money on it than some of these other things. So just be careful out there. I mean, I had one guy call. He was all excited. Oh, there's probably thousands or millions of these flyers that are going around by this company saying that you can buy gold eagles at 1885. And get a free silver eagle. Okay. I do specials. We've given out silver eagles before. Mm-hmm. That's been a while since I've done it. Maybe I'll have to do it again soon. So there's all kinds of things, and that's why you stay with the fundamentals. And it's just a crazy world out there, Butch.
It has, and gold has been at the top of the heap for ever since time began and money's been used, gold and silver. Sure. But especially gold has been the top of the heap. That's what everybody's recognized as real wealth. It's in the Bible. I mean, when the child left home, his father gave him gold and silver to take with him, along with animals and different things. But he always gave him of the treasure of his home and gold and silver. You didn't hear about giving paper money. He gave him gold and silver.
Paper money is really,
that's right. Name of crypto, exactly right. And he didn't send anything to him direct deposit. He gave it to him in real hard assets. So gold and silver is not going to go away. It's always been the top of the heap. It may be knocked around a little bit and scoffed at and laughed at, but it's not going to go away. It won't, and it will go up. It may fluctuate up and down like it had been, always has, but it constantly gains over a period of time. And I've proven that more than once, even at our church services, where I've done a biblical teaching on real money. And Christians don't understand that every time you pass a dollar bill, you're cheating your neighbor. Now, they don't know that. And, you know, for a long time, maybe they did. The people did the cheating didn't know, because we took it ourselves in payment. That's what we have. But every time you do that, you're defrauding your neighbor. If he gives you a bushel of corn, you give him a $10 bill, you give him a piece of paper back for nothing. Worth nothing, except that he believes it's worth something. And the person he passed on to believes it's worth something. So it's actually a fraud. It really is a fraud. Fiat currency is a fraud. And it's unbiblical. There's a curse on it. And that's why we're seeing that what's happened to countries' economics. And that's how they spend $5 trillion in 1 year with no, at least in people's eyes, no real drawback because of it. They haven't seen it yet, but it's going to happen. So understand, folks, and I'm saying this out of humbleness because I do the same thing. That's what we are trapped into this fiat system as far as trading with other people. But preparing yourself for the future and doing it the right way, the biblical way, is the way to do it. It truly is. And every time you pass, like I said, a piece of paper for something that's of value, you defraud that individual because out of ignorance they accepted it, and so the next person. So, Melody, we could take seashells and do the same thing as a dollar bill does.
Mm-hmm,
if
absolutely.
We had faith in seashells, that if the government said that, hey, this is real money, and they've done that in the past, probably, folks. This no joke. They've used seashells as currency in some places. We could take lumps of coal or whatever, and we could use that as real, we call currency, if the people accept it and the government said it's good. Just because the government says it's good and prints off a green piece of paper doesn't mean it's worth anything. It's faith that's worth something, but it's not worth anything.
Nope.
Any comments on that?
No, I mean, you explained it, you know, very well, so thank you.
Well, it's not really complicated. If I can figure it out,
no,
Melody,
it isn't.
I guarantee my puppy can figure it out, you know?
But you know what, Butch? There's so much misinformation floating around on the internet. It does make it complicated. And if you stick to the basics, that's what makes it simple. And
well, when you understand that the real use of value, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, when you hold a dollar bill in your hand and a silver dollar in the other hand, even the heft and the weight of the dollar bill, known as true silver, I mean, of the dollar coin, makes you realize that a piece of paper is nothing compared to the real piece of precious metal in your hand. If you just take time to balance them out, you see that it's very easy. It's not hard to discern that.
No, it isn't. So
anyway.
What news do you want to talk about today, Butch?
Well, I've got a lot of stuff here, and I want to start off with one I didn't get to finish Friday or Wednesday on the nine signs that chess pieces are being moved into place for a major war in the Middle East. And folks, I won't claim to be a Bible scholar, but I do believe that the final war, that World War III, I should say, will be starting in the Middle East, as prophesied, and over Jerusalem, Bible says a burdensome stone to the whole world. But this is what's coming true here. But anyway, the American people are really going to regret putting the warmongers back in control. Joe Biden has been in the White House for less than 2 months. The warmongers that Biden has surrounded himself with have been feverishly setting the stage for the next war in the Middle East. I do not believe that it will start within the next week, but I do believe that it is inevitable. While President Trump was in the White House for 4 years, the U.S. didn't start any new conflicts, but now the Biden administration is quite determined to start projecting American influence all over the globe once again. Most Americans don't understand the bigger picture, but the truth is that this is going to have very serious implications over the next few years. In this article, I would like to examine some of the chess moves that have been made since Joe Biden entered the White House. As you will see, a very troubling picture emerges once you start putting all the pieces together. Number one, literally one day after Biden was inaugurated, a massive U.S. military convoy rolled into Syria. Just a few weeks later, Joe Biden conducted his first airstrike against Iranian-backed forces inside Syria. Of course, it was inevitable that the Iranian-backed forces would respond, and they retaliated by launching rockets at a military base in Iraq where U.S. forces are stationed. Just a couple days ago, new Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said that there will be a U.S. military response at a time and place of our choosing. Number four, more U.S. airstrikes may come sooner rather than later. In fact, it's being reported that the U.S. has just sent 6 B-52 bombers to Diego Garcia. Number five, the Biden administration is also sending approximately 10,000 more troops to the Middle East. Number six, Russia has been busy making moves in the region as well. On Friday, Russia conducted an airstrike on an oil loading facility in Syria that is used by opposition forces that are backed by Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and the Biden administration. Number seven, meanwhile, Israel continues to hit strategically important targets inside Syria on a regular basis. The following comes from a new, it's good in some detail there. Number eight, Israel is particularly interested in keeping Iran from developing nuclear weapons. In an interview with Fox News, Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz just stated that Israel is ready to attack Iran without any U.S. help. And number nine, during a phone call last Thursday between Kamala Harris and Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister made it exceedingly clear that his nation is ready to do whatever it takes to prevent the Iranians from developing their own nukes. So, I mean, it's the Middle East is the major hotspot. We're going to discuss later on the ones, of course, in Taiwan and places too, but the Middle East is prophesied to be where the Third World War will come out of, and it's going to happen there. But there are 9 points there that, when we put together like that, makes perfect sense to see where we're headed in the Middle East. We're involved again, sending 10,000 more troops in to the Middle East. I don't know what to say. I mean, and B-52 bombers moving in the area. I mean, how do you do away with that evidence, Melody?
Well, you know what? There was something yesterday. They had the first U.S. and Israel. They convened the first meeting of a new strategic group to coordinate on Iran yesterday. The forum, known as the U.S.-Israel Strategic Consultative Group, is headed by National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and his Israeli counterpart, Meir Ben-Shavit. During the discussion, the two sides shared perspective on regional security issues of mutual interest and concern, including Iran, and expressed their common determination to confront the challenges and threats facing the region. So, yeah, I mean, all of this is slowly building up. We mentioned, too, that Germany is sending a ship over to that area, or is sending mm-hmm. ship their mm-hmm. ships to mm-hmm. certain areas and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're back in the groove again, and it's
we are. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I say Biden, Trump, I think, did do some de-escalation in some areas and maybe try to do more. I don't know. He couldn't get a lot done, obviously, if he did try. But he didn't He didn't move the war forward in the Middle East so much. Biden got in office, and the next day he already started back the war in the Middle East. So that should tell something. I'm not a Trump fan, you know that. But he didn't try to escalate wars anywhere. But you can't say that about the Biden administration. They've already started attacking and threatening more attacks. And you know if they attack, there's going to be retaliation, which will lead to more attacks. So this could lead to some things that people don't understand. If we go to war, and it spreads across the world, Melody, you just won't forget about job security and retirement checks. Because if we go to all-out war, you're going to be lucky to survive, period. That's why we talk about water filters and food and some real money. You're going to be lucky to survive because if we go to nuclear war, God forbid, no one wins a nuclear war. You know that.
Oh, no one. Of course not. Well, I know that. And, you know, I'd like to think that in today's age, they wouldn't do the nuclear war, that it would be more technology. We talked about all these, you know, countries hacking into everybody's security systems and so forth. And you never hear that they find those that are hacking the computers and so forth, of a monetary policy. I heard an interesting interview with, who was that? It was early morning, so please forgive me. But there's actually consideration that this government, the Biden administration, would actually default on China's treasuries. And it was, and the guy says, well, this really isn't a default. We just wouldn't pay him. It's just like, okay. Yeah, this really isn't a default. Oh, no. Okay. Then, well, you know, spin it. How are you going to spin it? And I'm thinking to myself, if they would do that, can you only imagine? That is a weapon of mass destruction.
Yes.
If they start we've all expected to happen anyway. But is that the beginning of it? To penalize China because of the COVID? And it's like, oh, these people do not know what they do.
No, that would bring huge retaliation.
But even for an administrative, a person from this administration to even bring that up, they're thinking about it. And we got to think about this break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Supply.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and, of course, you can listen to these programs. They're live at the program at the 4 o'clock Eastern time. Just go to... I don't want you to go to the bar. I want you to go to the little bar on the website that turns red at 4 o'clock, and you can click on it, and the program will be live, or you can scroll down and listen to the archive. So thank you. We always appreciate you. We appreciate your support. And because when you do support Discount Gold and Silver, you're also supporting many other venues that educate. And
I'm one of them.
Pastor Butch is one. Beth, CSC Talk Radio, Greg Hunter. There's multiple more that I support. So the profit we make here at Discount Gold and Silver, no, it doesn't all go into my pocket. It gets shared. And so, we do appreciate your support and your helping. So when Butch says to me, "Thank you, Melody, for supporting me," it's not me, it's you who are supporting Pastor Butch. So, 800-375-4188. Are we done with war?
Yeah, let's move on to something else.
Something a little more cheery.
I want to share one thing that today is cheery before getting into some really some stuff here. It's not pleasant. But I want to show you this one article if I can find it very quickly here. Wait to find it. I'm going through my paperwork right now. It's a very good article. I thought just kind of told about something about a man that really has a heart for people and doing what's right. Now, where is it? I'm trying to find it. I really am. Oh, here it is. Okay. "I love people. 91-year-old police officer still patrolling in Arkansas with no plans to retire."
Yep, I saw that.
How about that? Oh, you see that? It is so sweet. "Police officer in Arkansas has spent most of his adult life working in law enforcement, and now at 91, he has no plans to retire from serving the community he loves. Officer L.C. Buckshot Smith was born and raised in a small town of Camden, Arkansas, located about 100 miles south of Little Rock. He works for a local Camden Police Department, serving communities called home for decades. I've taken more people home than I've taken to jail when I was patrolling. I love people," he said. That is so foreign today. "I've taken more people home than I've taken to jail." That's who I grew up with, Melody. People, when policemen really were trying to be your friends.
Yes.
"The officer whose nickname was Buckshot was given to him as a teenager stuck, and he always wanted to work in law enforcement growing up. For more than four decades, he served as deputy with the Conchita County Sheriff's Department, also located in Camden. He did both patrolling work and in criminal investigation division for 46 years and 8 months until he retired in September 2010. I wore a lot of hats at the Sheriff's Department," he said, "lots of hats. But his retirement didn't last long, and in fact, it only lasted 5 months. The Camden Police Department kept calling me and wanting me to come to work here." And imagine that. This guy is retired, and he said, "When did you go to work for us?" He said, I love law enforcement, and I always wanted to be a police officer, so I accepted." In January 2011, Smith came out of retirement to become an officer with the department and hasn't looked back for more than 10 years. He works from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., 4 days a week, and some weeks, 5 days, depends on what's going on. He serves as a department bailiff and also with his community watch program, doing everything from traffic stops, patrolling school zones, to escorting funerals and parades. But that one thing he said, "I took more people home over the years I patrolled than I took to jail." That really touched me.
That
is the kind of heart
nice.
That you need in a law enforcement officer. You know, that sounds like Andy Griffith. You know?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So I thought I'd share that. I mean, that just was uplifting to me to know that there's more out there, I'm sure, besides him. He's 91 years old. He's seen a lot of things change in his lifetime with law enforcement, too, I'm sure. But he took more people home than he took to jail. And I thought, wow, I'd shake his hand.
Hmm.
Anyway, any comments on that?
No. Unfortunately, he is 91, and he can't be an example to the younger generations for, you know, too much longer. But if he was younger, you know.
Well, he certainly set in my mind, he set a good example for a lot of people, especially law enforcement, if they'll watch it. But back to some other news, and this is the article I'll share a little bit of because I thought it was very interesting. The back door to universal basic income. The road to hell, an old adage holds, is paved with good intentions. And it may be that the route to successfully implementing objectionable policies is forged by simply not naming them. It should come to no surprise that crisis accelerates the adoption, or at least the consideration of what we once were borderline proposals. But it will be a surprise to most that the indoctrination of such policies is underway, albeit via silent and seemingly innocuous policy elements. In an effort to offset the results of pandemic policies, not the effects of the virus, to be clear, but the effects of non-pharmaceutical interventions, the monetary and fiscal measures adopted by the federal government have been unprecedented. The massive jump in the money supply over the past year leaves little doubt that the spirit of modern monetary theory, or MMT, is reigning in Washington, D.C., even if it's not yet official doctrine. Intellectuals and politicians at the MMT camp are in the midst of a full-bore media push. Books, interviews, and other promotional activities stream forth, all designed to gain a foothold in the public mindset for the latest inflationist doctrine. The hope is that the public mind absorbs and accepts the idea that greatly increasing the money supply doesn't matter as long as the state can siphon enough money through taxation if price inflation materializes. History suggests that with repetition and a prominent place in the academy, that goal is readily achievable. But from bus drivers to accountants or physicians, Americans seem to have accepted that consumption is the sole driver of economic growth, and that the unconventional measures introduced by the Federal Reserve and the Congress are wholly benign. The current COVID-19 relief bill does not have explicit UBI provisions in place. It does, however, continue some of the existing programs put in place to offer financial assistance to Americans, as well as a spate of new allowances and tax credits, leading some to surmise that they are a strategic way station of sorts which could someday facilitate a broader rollout of guaranteed income policies. And I think they're right on the money with that article. I think we're just seeing tip of the iceberg. I'm certain we are. This is getting people used to getting checks in the mail, Melody. Everybody.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is all what's all about. They're going to bring in a UTI, and they will cut back on people's retirement funds. Well, you're not going to need them. You're going to have UTI.
Yep.
So you can see this happening. I mean, you can see it happening. The masses don't get it, and you can try to tell them they still won't get it, but it's happening.
And those that do get it thinks it's a good thing because we're helping people. It's a good idea. We're helping people. We're helping poverty. I even heard the word poverty, how it's going to be solved with this last 1.9, not solved, but, you know, helped with this $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. So they're bringing poverty. Did you know, Butch, that there's, I can't recall how many billions of dollars that is going to farmers? So
I've got the list right here somewhere.
It's going to farmers. But it's only going to minority farmers. It's not going to white farmers. It's going to the minorities. So, and I'm thinking, So how does that work? How does that work?
You be careful. Careful, you're on the verge of being a racist.
I mean, good Lord, how does that work? How can people say this is a good thing? You talk about racism.
I totally agree.
That's discrimination.
Absolutely.
So the white farmer who got in trouble because of pandemic doesn't get any help. It's just going to the minority. It's unbelievable. I was shocked. I just couldn't believe it. So that's it. You're 1.9.
Yeah, $2 trillion, my dear. $2 trillion.
$2 trillion.
Well, what's a few hundred thousand when you're talking about trillions? Yeah.
It's just
unbelievable. I know, but one of the things gets me. I keep looking at the list. I see 25 million to pay raises for the House of Representatives. I still don't get how that's going to help me pay my bills. Anyway, don't get me started on that stuff. You may get me mad. I don't want to get mad right now.
Friday.
It's 95% pork.
It is, and you know what? All you hear all day long on all these networks is, 75% of the population wants this passed. They think it's a great idea. That's because they're so misinformed that it's not going to them. All they're going to get is a $1,400 check.
There you go.
The other trillion is going for everything else. They don't know about that. All they're told by their local politicians is, you're going to get money. So as long as you're going to get money, let's get 75% of the population to go along with it and back it. It's just mind-boggling, Butch.
It really is. And they have no idea where it's leading us in the next little while in the inflation. Whatever. They have no idea. But have you noticed, this is a different topic, have you noticed your gas prices lately?
No.
You pay attention to them?
I don't pay any attention to them. I need it,
They went from one location where they were $1.83 or $1.89 a gallon. Now they're around $2.30 or $2.40 a gallon, depends where you buy it. In some places, now it's up $2.89 a gallon. But it's went up anywhere. It went up 56 cents in the last couple months. That's where gas is going. Now, this article out of Houston, why $4 a gallon gas may be coming your way this summer. Now, you know, that we had that, back in the early 2000s? Was that when that gas prices were around $4 a gallon?
It was around 2007, 2008.
Okay. Yeah, when that happened again, and when it happened, it's rolling back in the same way now as it did in 2008 with a lot of different scenarios, housing and everything else going the same direction. But even as oil and gasoline prices rise, industry executives are resisting their usual impulse to pump more oil out of the ground, which could keep energy prices moving up as the economy recovers. The oil industry is predictably cynical. When oil prices climb, producers race to drill until the world is swimming in petroleum and prices fall. Then energy companies that overextended themselves tumble into bankruptcy. That wash, rinse, repeat cycle was played out repeatedly over the last century, three times in the last 14 years alone. But at least for the moment, oil and gas companies are not following those old stage directions. An accelerating rollout of vaccines in the United States is expected to turbocharge the American economy this spring and summer, encouraging people to travel, shop, and commute. In addition, President Biden's coronavirus relief package will put more money in the pockets of consumers, especially those who are still out of work. Now, there's what you said. Puts more money in the pockets of consumers. Didn't mention about all the other programs, just the ones on consumers to get the money in the pocket.
Yep, that's all.
Even before Congress approved that legislation, oil and gasoline prices were rebounding after last year's collapse in fuel demand and prices. The gas price has risen 35 cents a gallon on average over the last month, and our age went up 60 cents or better, according to the AAA Motor Club, and could reach $4 a gallon in some states by summer. Sorry, it's already $4 a gallon in California, folks. It really is. While overall inflation remains subdued, some economists are worried that prices, especially for fuel, can rise faster this year than ever they have come in some time. That would hurt working-class families more because they tend to drive older, less efficient vehicles, and spend a higher share of their income on fuel. That is very true. But they're not talking about the inflation that's going to be caused by this bailout, $5 trillion in 1 year. They're not talking about the inflation is going to come with that. So not only gas ain't going to go up, but everything else you consume is going to go up. And things that you need every day, like food, is going to go up. Now, that's, you can take it to the bank. It's already started. And it's going to get worse. Any comments on that, Millie?
No, I mean, we are going to see inflation. I mean, it's just a given. Government needs it. We just don't know when they're going to quit changing the calculations so they get the number that they want, you know, until it's no longer used as propaganda. I mean, it's almost like this our whole country is being run, and we're just given all this propaganda day in and day out. And it is, and for the normal guy out there who goes to work trying to feed his family, it's hard for him to really understand what's going on. All he knows is prices are getting more expensive. Gas went from $1.80 to $2.89, almost 60%. What if gold went up? I mean, we don't think of it how much it goes up when it's $1.80 to $2.30 or $2.89 or something like that. Yeah, it's higher. 60%. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
And they disguise it.
But see, governments win with inflation because they collect more taxes. You understand what I'm saying? When they just pay a pay increase, they get more taxes.
Mm-hmm, true.
So, you know, it's just that simple. That's why minimum wages always end up hurting the little guys, because in the long run, they lose money. They do. But they explain that to them. I didn't used to believe that. When I was first married, I thought, man, I got a minimum wage back in, was like $2 an hour. I was tickled death to $2.50 or whatever it was. I thought I'd make more money. It didn't dawn on me. I mean, no one taught me economics. They just taught me to pay my bills and work. That's what I done.
Well, here's just
that? That.
No, I mean, and here's just a headline that'll just get your goat. And here the headline is: Bernie Sanders invites Jeff Bezos to hearing on income inequality. It's like, you know, Bezos was invited by Bernie Sanders, he's the Senate Budget Committee chairman, to appear before his panel for a hearing. And it's just like, yeah, somebody who's worth about $183 billion, like, yeah, he can really relate to that. I mean, it's just like,
you know, we're laughing, but it really isn't funny. That's really sad. I mean, Bernie Sanders is no pauper himself. You know that.
No, I know, but he's no Bezos.
No, he's not. But none of those people in Sanders are starving to death, I guarantee you.
No. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survive.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What's next, Butch?
Okay, I thought this was an interesting article. Massive layoffs at Huffington Post after it pushed to deplatform right, the conservatives. After having pushed for the deplatforming of conservative voices, the left-leaning Huffington Post announced massive layoffs of its workforce on Tuesday. 47 U.S. writers, including 8 in management, and entirely shuttering its Canadian operation. The decision was made to fast-track the path to profitability, enabling the company to break even this year, eventually turn profit, according to Jonah Peretti, the CEO of BuzzFeed, which acquired HuffPost from Verizon Media just 3 weeks ago. He noted HuffPost lost around $20 million in 2020. Now, this, according to this article, they lost it when they tried to deplatform the right. I guess people quit going there, quit backing them. So, you know, and BuzzFeed said although it's profitable, they can't support a company that loses that kind of money every year. It can't do it 2 years in a row. So maybe there is a little bit of a splash back for you know, coming down on people that are conservative. Maybe this did cost them some people's work. I don't know. It's a good sign if it did. But most platforms today, are cutting us off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's their goal is to eliminate voices.
Sure.
And, you know, they do, you know, it is interesting. They do go after the conservatives. Remember how the Obama administration, the IRS, went after conservative groups. And when they were trying to get their... What is it that churches have there?
The 501c3?
501c3, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The Obama, and this is going to be no different. I mean, they need the money, and the Democrats are the spenders, so they're going to go after to whoever has the money and to make sure that they're getting it. And that also includes blocking voices. It also includes blocking voices.
That undermines the First Amendment a little bit, doesn't it?
A little bit, but hey.
What the hey, man? It's good where money is. But another one here along the same lines, pro-Trump, now I don't have to pronounce this right, C-O-V-F-E-F-E, Coffee sales skyrocket nearly 8,000% after they were canceled by Chase Bank. It's a pro-Trump coffee company, I guess. And this, it starts out the social credit system is already here in the U.S.
Sure it is.
Sales for Coffee has skyrocketed over 7,500% following a National Foul report that Chase Bank has banned them from using their payment processor. National Foul reported at the start of last month that Chase Bank had banned Coffee Coffee, the pro-Trump coffee company founded in 2018, from using their WePay payment processor. Chase had determined that the America First company had, in fact, been using their payment processor for one or more of the activities prohibited by their terms of service. National Fire inquired as to what Coffee had engaged in that murder in the mayor's decision, but received no response. So the Chase Bank canceled them, and they went up 8,000% in profitability, or over 7,500, it says here. So, again, maybe a kickback on the idea that you don't censor people. We're not going to tolerate it. Yeah. We'll just take a business somewhere else, do something else. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that is needed. There has to be a balance here somewhere, Melody. There really does.
Yeah, I know, but there isn't.
No, there isn't. But it kind of tickled me to see a small company like that that started. It's founded, it's founded in 2018, and it's pro-American, and it's American First company. It tickled me to see them profit that much. It does. Mm-hmm. And when a bank like Chase Bank tries to shut them down, they just profit even more. I like that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Coffee Coffee. Have you?
No, I haven't.
What that even is, but anyway.
No, I haven't. But you know, there was discussions. I think President Trump had come out and said that he was not interested in starting another party. You know, that he was all in for the Republican Party and so forth. But I think with some of the things that are being reported on, should they be true, I think he is going to start his own party. I really do. I mean, you know, he's in there. The reporting says he wants to, be the Republican Party. And if there's discussions about the funds, and you have to, and it's kind of normal that if you're going to use somebody's name in fundraisers and so forth, you have to get their permission and so forth. He is not the Republican Party. And so he required them to do that. But it kind of makes me wonder. I have a feeling he's going to start his own party. I think he's going to start a third party.
That's been talked about before, but you're right. He said he didn't want to do that, but you never know.
I bet he does.
He could be very much right on that. Mm-hmm. And the next article, ICE asked for volunteers to deploy their border as soon as possible this weekend to cope with surge. U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement sent an urgent email to senior staff Thursday night asking for volunteers to quickly deploy to the border to help cope with the soaring numbers of migrant families, teens, and children filling U.S. border stations and cramming up holding cells beyond capacity. This situation mandates immediate action to protect the life and safety of federal personnel and aliens in custody, wrote Michael Meade, ICE's acting assistant director for field operations, in an email to the Washington Post. And I guess this is true. They are filling in, and I guess it does make a difference to the federal employees and also the aliens in custody. But if these people get across the border, Melody, how about the people living in border towns? You know, how about people living in border towns where they're getting overrun with these people, whether they're legal or not legal, whether they're good people or not good people? I mean, I said legal. If they're legal, it's fine. But if they come in, they don't care if they're good or bad people. They come in, they're still there. And it's bad for the federal personnel. It's bad for them. But how about the citizens that live there that are trying to pay the bills and make a living when they're overwhelmed with all this? What happens to them?
You know, it really is amazing. I mean, certainly open borders, and it's all for the children, as we've already heard them say. It's for the compassion of the children. You know, we all have compassion for children, but there's legal and then there is illegal. And you see a lot of comparisons about the increase this year versus last year. Now, I'm just looking at the numbers. But last year, our borders were shut down because of COVID. Last year wasn't a normal year for those coming across the border and the immigration. So I don't know how you can look at, not saying that the numbers coming across now aren't high. They are. But how do you compare it to last year? You'd almost have to compare it to the year before.
Yeah, you would.
And to get real numbers, but that we don't do real numbers anymore. Anyway, that was just my thought.
Good thought, and it's actually true. Yeah, it wasn't fair to compare the Trump's last year in office as to this year. No, that was a whole different scenario. And I think he probably done a better job than obviously what Biden's doing, because he just opened the door wide open. But I keep thinking not about even the federal employees. I keep thinking about the people that live in the border towns, and us too, eventually. How are we going to support these people if they don't want to work?
Yeah.
Or if they're criminals? They're overpowering the little small town police departments. How are they going to handle the crime rate? It's really not a good idea. It's not a good scenario. And for a long time, we still got laws set up, and they were obeyed. You come to the country, you did it the right way, and you become a citizen, and you were more than welcome. But they ignore that now, and when the federal government ignores it, that's really a sad situation. You have no recourse. Sad situation.
Well, Butch, you don't know what the solution is? More stimulus. More care packages. UBI. That's their answer to everything.
Of course. Now, why didn't I think of that?
Well,
yeah.
It just slipped your mind.
They could pass out some Oregon cheese. Remember Oregon cheese?
I've heard of it.
They come in what we call commodities back then, even back in the, when he's in office in the 80s. And that was good cheese. But anyway, we'll move on. The latest hotel amenity. Now listen to this. The latest hotel amenity doesn't involve massages or cookies. It's a free coronavirus test.
Oh,
isn't that exciting? Yeah. In response to U.S. law requires international drive arrivals to show proof of a negative coronavirus test, Melilla Hotels International set up test sites at 10 of its hotels in Dominican Republic and Mexico. So anyway, you go in, and these resorts, and they'll give you a free COVID test, and that's just what to do. I mean, and hotels will say it's just another hat we wear. You know, that's just something we did before. We give them this, and that, and we just give them a COVID test. Melly, this is getting to be absurd, to say the least.
Well, yes, it is.
You know, in the British Columbia, new outbreak of COVID-19 in BC, our home, care home, where 82% of residents were already vaccinated. They were vaccinated and they got sick again with a different kind of COVID, a different virus. Now, folks, I don't know how much this is real and which isn't, but I will say this. You cannot vaccinate against a virus. Viruses mutate. That's how they survive. They mutate. You can control one part and it'll mutate something else that is a whole different scenario, a whole different setup, and the vaccine no longer work. Melody, that's why they couldn't really effectively mutate against flu. I mean, vaccine against flu, because flu mutates, and they call it the swine flu, or whatever kind of flu they come up with. But it changes. So you can give a shot for swine flu, but if that's not the one that's coming around, you're going to catch it. You cannot vaccinate against a virus because viruses don't stay the same. So the people in this facility that were vaccinated are getting sick again with a new type of virus.
Well, I told you the story of a lady I know that she works in a doctor's office. Her father is in a nursing home. And since, I don't know, the middle of January, something like that, or the end of January, they were all vaccinated. She says every week somebody tests positive. But people who've
That's
been
true.
Vaccinated, they're tested positive.
And when the tests are 94% inaccurate anyway, according to the CDC and when they made it, how do you know it's real? I mean, you get 6% of 100% to get it right. 6 chances of 100 to get it right. That's not very good odds. That's why they told me when I got sick, I had COVID. I wouldn't get into how they tested me. I wouldn't get into that. It makes me mad. But nonetheless, they said, I don't know if I had it or not. I doubt that I did because I don't trust them. Because every time they diagnose it, the hospital gets $13,000 for diagnosis. So that, it's a big money game. And believe me, there are many people getting rich off of this. Many, many people. Especially the vaccine industry. But anyway, you ready to move on?
Yeah, I am. Here's a good story. I have a good story.
Okay.
You know, Philadelphia is going to dim their lights to make it safer for birds in flight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the coming weeks, as a coalition in the city of Brotherly Love tries to prevent millions of migrating birds that pass through twice a year from slamming into skyscrapers and crashing to the sidewalk.
Well,
so they have
announced... Why not?
It's called Bird Safe Philly. On Thursday, they announced the Lights Out Philly initiative. So, yeah.
Okay,
I wonder if that's going to increase crime.
Yeah, get ready to say, get ready to say the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Time will tell, I guess.
Yeah.
Talking about crime, Kyle Bass calls for law and order after Portland rioters smashed windows and set fires near a courthouse. Now, listen to this, because this happened just last year, folks. Here we go again. Days after a fence surrounding a Portland, Oregon courthouse was taken down for the first time since last summer's violent riots, protesters gathered outside the building where they smashed windows, set fires, and spray painted graffiti. When the courthouse doors were being boarded up, tensions between people and federal officials were erupted. This started a chain reaction of civil unrest and destruction Thursday night, leading authorities to deploy tear gas. Shortly after 9 p.m., independent journalists tweeted images of smoke, smash windows, burning flags and walls of the courthouse spray-painted with graffiti. A KGW photographer witnessed federal officers using tear gas and projectiles to control the crowd. The crowd was met by federal officers who used tear gas and other crowd control measures in an attempt to defuse the situation. At least one person was arrested who punched an officer in the face. So they took down the fence, and all hell broke loose.
Hmm. Well, did they put it back up?
I don't know. Not yet. It just happened. What, Thursday? Just happened yesterday, so I guess they hadn't had time to. But this article ties right into it. Different state. State giving immunity to drivers who accidentally hit violent rioters. Lawmakers cite case of drivers surrounded by protesters. The Oklahoma House passed a bill Wednesday that extends punishments for rioters and grants immunity to drivers who injure or kill someone while fleeing a riot, USA Today reported. House Bill 1674, introduced by Republican State Representative Kevin West, will allow prosecutors to charge rioters with a misdemeanor for interfering with traffic and endangering drivers. If passed, motor vehicle operators would not face criminal or civil charges, for hitting a rioter if they were fleeing for safety or exercise due care at the time of injury or death. The bill defines a rioter as anyone committing violence or robbery during a protest. According to Courthouse News Services, rioters can face criminal charge and imprisonment, and they should. And I can see the point, I guess, because, you know, one guy was supposedly charged or sued because he's trying to get out of the way of the crowd and hit somebody.
Wow. So, all right, Oklahoma, you go. And
you
we're
going
to go because we're out of time. And we'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.